Jeff Smith from Eau Claire is a Democrat, and he served 3 terms in the state assembly, and he's one of 5 candidates for state Democratic chairman. That election will be June 5 and 6 at the state party convention in Milwaukee. And so, Jeff Smith, thanks for coming in to talk about your candidacy.
I appreciate the chance to be here.
Welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Yeah,
having
yeah,
done
it's
candidate
been a few years.
Yep. Let's do an overarching question first. What's at stake in the election for the next state chairman? And looking beyond that, the elections of 2016, 18, and 2020, Jeff?
There's a lot at stake. This is maybe one of the more important opportunities we've had to, and I hear this all the time, we need to rebrand our party and to build our party back up from the grassroots. This is our chance to do that, and I'm really excited about the opportunities that lie in front of us. I mean, it may seem dire to many, and a lot of people have concerns and feel like they've lost hope with what's going on in the state of Wisconsin, but fact is right now with this position opening up and some real opportunity is before us to be able to rebuild and restructure and come out really charging with a real progressive message and real progressive party.
And if you were the chairman, your goals for the 16, 18, and 2020 elections, sir, would be?
Win.
Win. Simply stated,
we have
win.
Got to win some seats. And I just know we can do this. And I know that redistricting has damaged some people's hopes that we can do that. But I know we can do this because the truth is, voters are out there waiting for a real contrast between the messages and between the parties. And we have way too much been going to the right, thinking, well, they redistricted, we need to go get their voters. Well, that's not really true.
When you were in the assembly, did you hold hearings on a bill that would redistrict in a new way? Explain your position.
Yes,
on
we
that.
Did. And I believe it was Spencer Black who was the author of that bill. I'm not sure he had gotten hearings before, but I'm a what you might call clean government, a good government guy, and it's why I really insisted on being the chair of that committee when we were in the majority. I wanted campaign finance reform and election protection and those sorts of things were really important to me. And this is such a big issue. Now, granted, I didn't realize how big an issue, and because it had never been abused like it has been this past time, this past opportunity. But we had a hearing. It didn't get beyond that because after that, the chair doesn't have a whole lot of power to get it to the floor and bring it to the calendar.
Okay, but you believe then that the boundary lines for the seats in the U.S. House and in both the Senate and the Assembly should be drawn by, well, go ahead, talk about the better way.
It most definitely, we use the Iowa model all the time as an example. But even look at the fact of in Minnesota, they have a different method as well. They had the same sort of issue in 2010 where there was a wave that helped Republicans. But, because they aren't able to draw their own lines, come 2012, it changed back. People actually woke up to what was going on and voted Democrats back in power. And that's an example of why we need that. We need the voices of the voters need to be heard. And they're not heard the way they should be if the people who are elected are drawing their own lines and picking their own voters.
How would you answer Democrats, though, who feel, look at what the Republicans did to us in 2011. We ought to do unto them what they did to us in 2021.
Two bads don't make a right.
Okay.
Never should think that way. In fact, when we are once again in the majority, which we will be sometime sooner than later, I hope, we need to demonstrate how government should be run. And none of this, we're going to get you back for what you've done sort of mentality. Okay. We've got to actually have a mentality of we're for the people, we're here to govern, forget about the past, let's move ahead.
Okay, now let's talk about, I got ready for the show by reading your answers to the Blogging Blue questions. So I want you to elaborate on what you've identified as your issues. Talk about the importance of K-12 schools, because you say that's the most important. What have you seen that lead you to believe that K-12 schools are being hurt in Wisconsin and especially in rural areas.
Yeah, especially in rural areas. It's incredible. I've started running for office in 2004 was the first campaign I ran. Mm-hmm. I've been on the ballot six times in my district. Now, my two issues that I even back then ran on was campaign finance reform and school funding reform. Boy, to get people to actually listen to you or to care about those issues back then was impossible. I would always bring it up, always bring those two issues up, but for the first time in 2014, I was knocking on people's doors, and before I could even say much of anything, they were saying their top issue and concern was funding their schools in these small districts. Okay. Now, I can give you an example, like Plum City has their own school district, very small, but they take great pride in that community. In that, if that school were to go away, that community wouldn't exist. That's one issue. That's just one issue of the way our communities revolve around their schools. But the bigger issue is educating our children. What are we going to put them through by shipping them off to a large city or back in the day, are we going so far backwards that we're going to ship them away for the week, house them somewhere, mm-hmm. and then bring them back home? That was the day of when everyone lived on farms, and that's the sort of thing they needed to do, and I think they still do, probably out in Montana or someplace. But we cannot go backwards to that. We cannot be putting our money into these voucher schools, into these private for-profits, because that's really the issue. The real issue, because, my God, how can conservatives not understand that their pockets are being picked for profit because when it's not going into their own public schools?
Well, this is part of the theme that you mentioned in your blogging, Blue Answers. The way to victory in Wisconsin is through strengthening our base in rural Wisconsin. Are you saying then the Democrats will always do well in the Dane counties and the other large urban counties, but the key to winning, as you say, which would be your goal, is rural Wisconsin?
First of all, I will never take anything for granted, and we always have to do and maintain the work that we do in Madison, Milwaukee, for instance, even the city of Eau Claire, city of La Crosse, places like that do well.
Douglas County.
Right? Yep. We do really well, but it's always in the urban settings, and so we got to maintain that. But we need to take our success from there and move it into the rural parts of our state. Now, in my district, for instance, and this is a fact of data that has been accumulated, 40% of the voters are swing voters. It's not like we should be giving up on rural Wisconsin. Now, the party has made the air in the past of being proud of winning the state for the president.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And something to be proud of, certainly, because of our history.
And you'd like to do it next year.
We would like to do it next year, and I know we will. But it's not enough. That doesn't mean we're winning our state back. That doesn't mean our state is Democratic or blue. It just means we've won it for the president. And then they go off to Washington and do what they need to do. We need to focus on rural Wisconsin. Now, the good news is as I travel the state and I go into these rural areas and talk to our members, I hear time and again, good, you're not from here. We need leadership outside of our area because we got to win. They understand that. They know that they're not going to be in the majority in the legislature if we don't help them get there.
Well, it's been about 17 or 18 years since the state Democratic chair has not come from Milwaukee or Dane counties. So it'd be a good time to break that pattern.
It would be.
It's what I hear you saying.
I understand. It's been an uphill climb. I understood that from the beginning. But now is the time. Now is the time.
You also say, well, first of all, let's go back to your issues. K-12, protect our beautiful hills and waterways. That's an argument for environmental protections that you feel slipped in the last 5 years under the Republicans.
Absolutely. An interesting issue that our party down here, the Democratic Party as a whole, tries to not, or I don't know, it doesn't really seem to pay enough attention to, but means a lot where we are, is frack sand mining.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's a huge issue in Western Wisconsin.
Huge issue. And it is a great issue for this reason. as I was traveling around in the last 4 years in my district, I'd come across town hall meetings that were packed. Now, I was a town chair, and I can tell you, I would have loved to have had a packed room for our meetings, but that was never the case. Usually you get three or four people to show up with a complaint. These meetings were packed. And every time I went to one and saw it was packed, I knew what it was about.
Correct.
But now the reason I say it's a good issue for all of us, is this. It brought people together. It didn't matter where they stood and voted on the political side of the aisle. They stood together in town halls, clearly upset with what was happening in western Wisconsin, into their beautiful hills, what they knew as clean air and clean water, and what the state of Wisconsin was doing, and this legislature was doing, in terms of taking away the local control that we had over that.
Well, to be fair, that bill was talked about, but it never really passed.
Well, there's a lot of other issues that have passed, yes, that have picked away at that local control.
In 2013, the mining rules were re-witnessed, what I'm struggling to say.
Yeah.
You believe in the public funding of campaigns?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We had a public funding mechanism from about 1970s until about...
And it wasn't strong enough.
Right.
Because, for instance, if you ran and took that public funding, it would amount to $5,000 or $6,000, $7,000, somewhere in that range. And,
okay.
You know, in today's market, that doesn't buy a lot.
It just wasn't... Relevant.
So I understand that part of it, but it shouldn't have been taken away. It should have been created or grown. And there's ways of doing it. Lots of other states are doing it quite well.
Mm-hmm.
When candidates don't have to spend their time raising money, they're doing other things, which are good things.
Okay.
Talking to people, talking about their campaigns, doing the things they should be doing. Of course, it's always a two-pronged thing. It isn't just public funding of campaigns that's the issue, because if we don't also take care of the outside expenditures with issue ad disclosure, so we know who's throwing that money,
who's contributing how much and when,
then we're really not doing much. We need to do both of those things.
One of the final issues that you cite is the right of all women to choose their own reproductive path. Well, oh, you've got others, family farming and feel safe from irresponsible gun ownership. You must back the CCW law, right? Do you? Concealed carry?
No.
You don't back that?
No, I wouldn't have voted for
You wouldn't
that.
Have voted for
no.
it?
No.
Okay. Do you consider that as an example of irresponsible gun ownership? That's your Blogging Blue questionnaire sites?
No, are those? Yeah.
Yep.
The irresponsible part of that is... As I recall, it's been 4 years or something, right?
Yeah.
I actually think we should have taken that on when we were in the majority, because I think we would have passed a more responsible law.
Okay.
And you find even in law enforcement officials, they're very concerned with the way they passed this law, which made it almost carte blanche for people to get a permit.
Okay.
And the training and all of those things that should go along with it, and continual training down the road.
Okay, so these are the themes that as you go around the state, because you're in a campaign of your own for state chair, aren't you?
Well, right. Now, those are issues that I won't have any voice in.
Right.
Right? I'm not running for an office that sets policy
in
the Capitol.
But in terms of convincing your fellow Democrats.
Yeah, it's a really different kind of campaign.
You also say the party hierarchy just doesn't trust the county chairs or membership. You must feel like you've seen that firsthand, because you've been a regional party director for Western Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's something you would change if elected?
Absolutely. That is the key thing. If we're going to grow as a party, if we're going to attract progressive voters like we should, that is a must. That is the highest priority. And I don't know how to describe it, Steve, except that there's a arrogance in the hierarchy that they don't, that for instance, so I would, you know, paraphrasing, they would might be thinking, just do what we ask you to do, you don't need to know why.
Okay.
Sort of attitude. And then on the other hand,
kind of a we know best at the top of the party.
And if someone comes through with, hey, I think we should be doing this, they brush it off. No, we already have a plan. We know what we're doing. Well, we're not winning. And part of that is we're not attracting that, or we're not getting the trust and respect back and forth between our base and our volunteers and our progressive thinkers out there and the hierarchy of the party.
You also lament that the Democratic Party is losing among some of the college students,
mm-hmm.
that the GOP organizations are doing better than the Young Democrats on campus. Well, you come from a college town.
Isn't that incredible?
Why? What's the appeal that is doing better?
I really don't know what the appeal is, and I don't know what the other side does. But I know what we do and what we don't do. We come into a campus. In fact, let's just talk about last year, and I just talked to someone this morning about it, rehashing this. The so-called coordinated campaign, which is not real, but they call it that, didn't put any effort into the campus until September.
Into your campus?
Into the campus.
Eau Claire, yeah. UW Eau Claire.
And that's
September,
all of
2 months out from the election.
2 months out. This is typical. Now, of course, the thinking is, well, students aren't there until then and all those things. The reason I mention that, not only is that just not enough time, is that it's also, even students get it. We're just using them to try to drive up the vote.
Okay.
And then ignoring them between November of that even year until September of the next even year again. We need to have something going on those campuses all the time and understand, it's back to the trust and respect, right? And because even if someone's not going to be there that's on that campus, say, this year, and they're not going to be there next year, mm-hmm. they're moving somewhere. And we need them to understand the importance of their vote and the importance of voting as Democrats.
What percentage of your time, if you were elected state Democratic chair, would have to be spent on fundraising?
Well, I hear various numbers. I've heard 60%. That seems to be the general idea of 60%
of your time.
Of the time.
Dialing for dollars. Huh?
Now, you know, the question comes up about raising money, even in forums in front of Democrats. And that's fine. And I don't have a problem raising money, and I have never had a problem raising money. I've been able to do it up in an assembly campaign up to $120,000 for one assembly campaign. And you know, I could raise what I need.
Mm-hmm.
Have no problem doing that. Don't mind calling, making the calls, talking to people. They're good people. But the question should be, where's that money going and how are we spending that money? Do we have capable hands and minds that are spending it wisely? That's really the hidden underlying question that never gets asked. Instead, it's raise money, raise money, raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And including just with candidates. We push these candidates, and sometimes it's their first time ever on the campaign trail. And what's the number one priority that they push them at? Raise money, raise money, raise money.
Okay.
Raise money. And then guess what? That money goes to paying those consultants and firms that are advising and giving them their lit and developing their message and doing all these things, which isn't working, by the way. And they go home with that money whether we win or lose.
If you're elected state Democratic chair, is it possible to repeal Act 10 and repeal right to work and repeal photo ID?
There's only one way, Steve, and that is we have to have the same power that they have right now. It's, you know, the good news is everything can be fixed. Bad news is it's going to take time to get to that point of having a real progressive legislature and a real progressive governor all in place at one time.
You ran for the assembly five times, right?
Six times.
Six times. Thank you for the correction. You were on the ballot sometimes when Scott Walker was on the ballot. Let me ask you, why can't the Democratic Party beat Scott Walker in 2010, 2012, 2014?
I'll give them this. You have somebody who's brash and with great conviction and never backs off of his position. And I'll give you an example. In 2010, it's appalling that he went after high-speed rail money the way he did. But he did in the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? He stuck to his guns, even though it was a terrible thing to do to his state of Wisconsin.
Said, if I'm governor, I'm going to tell the federal government, right. No, thank you for your $800 million for a high-speed train.
And even in and also at that same time, he rejected the money for broadband expansion. I mean, he talked about it in campaigns, and I know Republicans who told me as we went to rail hearings that fall before he was even inaugurated, and mm-hmm. he said he was going to do that. They said, "Well, I didn't think he'd really do it."
Oh, and then he did. Immediately
he did.
After his election.
But he did.
He told the Secretary of Transportation.
So my point is we need, as a Democratic Party, to have as much conviction for our values as they do right or wrong. I consider theirs wrong.
I understand.
But you know, that's what's been missing. We keep thinking we need to go to the right and go get those voters. We got to talk like a Chamber of Commerce, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce
WMC
people. You know, yeah. I mean, no, we don't. You know what? We need to give people real conviction, real choice. That's what voters need and want.
And you mentioned health care. You believe that we should have a universal, a single payer system, don't you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, it's appalling that we're supposed to be leading the world in most things, and yet here we are, that the one industrialized country that doesn't have a system like that. There's no way that anyone in this country or in this state should be left with the debt just because they got ill or were in an accident and lose everything, lose their job, not only lose their health, but lose their home, lose who knows. We should be able to not have that stress on us.
And that's a winning issue for your party?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, especially now that people are seeing the Affordable Care Act is working and we're moving in that direction.
Wisconsin is grateful that all five candidates for Democratic chair have agreed to come in and be interviewed. And as you know, because I think you probably watched some of the interviews, I'm asking them if they want to talk about why they'd be better than the other four candidates. Why would you be a better chair than Jason Ray of Milwaukee?
I don't have any reason to talk about other candidates.
Okay.
I think that's a bad thing.
Okay.
I will talk about myself, though, and that I have the qualities of leadership that I've demonstrated in the past. Where I come from in Western Wisconsin, I think anybody there that's a Democrat would speak highly of me and what I've done over the years. I haven't gone away. Right?
Okay.
That's one thing. They can't beat me. But it's about leadership. And real leadership actually brings us together. Doesn't form us into a circle that fires at each other.
Okay.
We can't be doing that. We've got to come together. One of the key things is going to be getting all of these progressive bloggers and for instance, we are the Green Party. So get anyone who thinks they belong to a third party called the Green Party or another party called the Progressives or whatever they want to call themselves. They need to come together with us and call themselves Democrats.
Okay.
That's what a real leader is going to do, and that's what I think is my strength and what I can do.
Okay.
One of the things I can do, besides being a truly rural candidate who has won a rural seat against a longtime Republican.
I understand and respect your decision not to compare yourselves to the other four candidates, but I do feel strongly about this. I want to give you a chance to respond to something your former senator, Kathleen Vinehout, said. Because when she was asked, she's backing, of course, Martha Lanning. When she was asked why Martha Lanning would be better than Jeff Smith, she said, well, I work with Jeff Smith, I respect Jeff Smith, but he's too nougat. Too negative, excuse me for screwing that up. Do you want to respond to that?
The only thing I'll say is, by the way, she's my current senator.
Yes, she is.
Yep. And we've known each other for quite a while. Have not had a lot of in-depth conversations, though. None on this particular situation or candidacy. That's the only time I've ever heard that sort of comment about me and about the campaign that we ran last fall. Now, last fall, if I would actually invite, it gave us an opportunity actually to release those videos again up there so people could see, hey, this is what we're talking about.
Because she said the YouTube videos that you and your campaign made last fall, mm-hmm. to use her words, hurt him and hurt me.
Yeah.
You want to respond to that?
Well, I'm not sure where that comes from.
Okay.
You know, Kathleen's fortunate to still be in office, and we're fortunate to have her still in office. She won. And so that said, I actually would challenge people, go to my website, jeffsmithfordpwchair.com, and you can view some of those videos. I actually have a page with those videos on there, so they can check those out. To go to my YouTube channel. I'll tell you this, that each time we were going to release a video, mm-hmm. I was very careful to have some people view it who weren't a part of the production or anything of that, because I wanted to hear their input. And it was constantly, oh, wow, that's great. You got to put that out there.
Okay.
And I got, and I just put out a graph on my website to demonstrate where my campaign did better than all other campaigns across the state as far as challenging in the legislature, challenging Republicans who are in office.
Okay.
So as a Democratic challenger, our campaign did better than everybody else. So
any thoughts?
Speaks for itself.
What should be the relationship between the caucuses in the Assembly and the Senate? Because those right now, they pretty much call their own shots, don't they?
They do.
The Senate Democratic Caucus conducts its own campaigns, finds mm-hmm. its own candidates. Same thing with the Assembly, right?
Right.
Is that a good system?
No.
As a three-term member of the Assembly?
It isn't, and it isn't. In fact, as regional political director, and I spent a year doing that for the state, I always made sure I even had, as people, I remember when the first time I did this, it occurred to me they didn't know the difference. They thought the DPW was controlling all of these campaigns and doing all of that, right?
Yeah, right.
So I remember I was sitting there while they're talking about it, and I drew a chart.
You did.
I said, here's the DPW, here's me, and then here's these caucuses.
Yeah.
They didn't know what those were, so I had to explain to them. And that's important, because even our own voters and members of the Democratic Party need to know, because they were placing blame, if you want to call it, in the wrong places sometimes.
Okay.
Now, that said, I don't think we should be pointing fingers either. I know this is a tough job. What I want to do, though, is be engaged and involved. The highest priority, I don't want the highest priority from the chair to be winning the state for the president. I want our highest priority to be winning the state in Madison at the legislative level.
You got a taste of that firsthand. Your first campaign, you were not the anointed handpicked Democratic candidate,
no.
were you?
No.
And you went on to win the primary. I think
I
you say by 12 percentage points.
I did.
Right?
Yep.
So this is an issue that you know pretty well.
Yeah, and it never made me bitter. It made me a hard worker.
Okay.
It actually helped me a lot in learning how to stand on my own and be out there and talking to voters and developing my own message and being successful at it.
Okay.
I'll tell you this, though, just on a side note. It's a lot more fun doing that against Republicans than it is
running against fellow Democrats. Well, we're almost out of time. Maybe one final question. When the Democratic convention meets in Milwaukee, all five candidates will get a chance to give them a speech. Give us the short version of what you're going to tell them.
Well, I'm going to tell them that we are truly in a struggle for the heart and soul of our state. We truly are in a struggle. And we need to be listening to voters across the state when they say, you're all alike, and Democrats are no different than Republicans. Even though I know that's not true, and most Democrats may not believe that's true, it took me a while to figure it out. But they really have reason to believe that.
Okay.
When we are producing campaigns that are inauthentic, conservative light, they're always going to pick the genuine article. And we have got to be far more aggressively talking about progressive issues, the issues, values we stand for, and be true to our nature and to our values.
Great. Jeff Smith of Eau Claire is one of five Democratic candidates for state Democratic Party chairman. The election will be at the state convention, June 5 and 6 in Milwaukee. And just a programming note, Martha Lanning, another candidate for state Democratic chair, will be interviewed by Wisconsin Eye on April 8th. Jason Ray from Milwaukee, another candidate, on April 21st. And Joe Winicky from Dane County was interviewed by Wisconsin Eye on March 21st. You can look at the video of that interview. We have not yet been able to schedule Steve Smith. Jeff, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Steve.
I appreciate it. Thank you.